Sometimes a song can change hearts. This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Wednesday, and if by this point in the week you are feeling utterly overwhelmed by job, duties, responsibilities, obligations, here's what you got to do. You got to laugh today. You got to find a way where you can just laugh. Laughter is the music of the heart. Laughter is internal jogging. Laughter is pain turned inside out. Laughter is the shock absorber of life's hard knocks. You don't stop laughing because you've grown old. You've grown old because you stop laughing. You got to laugh today, folks. You know what I'm doing every Wednesday this week, this year? Every Wednesday this year, I'm celebrating Christmas. Call me crazy, but I think we got to celebrate Christmas. Christmas has a certain mentality about it. We need that mentality given all the problems in our world. And so what I'm going to do is share with you Christmas songs. No, I'm not going to sing them. You don't have to panic or worry. I'm going to share with you the background of Christmas songs. There's a story, of course, with each song. I'm going to share some with them. Here's the first song I want to share with you. It's called Angels from the Realms of Glory. Okay, here's the words of the song. Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth. Ye who sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. And the chorus is, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Shepherds in the fields abiding, watching o'er your flocks by night, come with man, God with man is now residing, yonder shines the infant light. Sages leave your contemplation, brighter visions beam afar, seek the great desire of nations, ye have seen his natal star. Saints before the altar bending, watching long in hope and fear, suddenly the Lord descending in his temple shall appear. In the chorus, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Now the story behind the song. Angels from the Realms of Glory, possibly the best written sacred Christmas carol of all time, helped launch a revolution that continues to impact millions of lives today. At its heart is its writer, an Irishman born in November of 1771. James Montgomery was born in Irvine, Ayrshire, Scotland. Montgomery's father, John, was an Irish Moravian missionary. When his parents were called to evangelistic work in the West Indies, the child was sent to a Moravian community in Balmaina, County Antrim, Ireland. By the time he was seven, James was at Falneck Seminary, Yorkshire, England. 5 years later, the parents James hardly knew died on the mission field. Perhaps because of the distance from and the tragic loss of his parents, Montgomery never was very interested in his schooling. Flunking out of a seminary, he became a baker's assistant for a short time. By the age of 20, the young man was little more than a vagrant, moving from job to job, often unemployed and homeless for weeks at a time. Montgomery's only interest was writing. He spent what little money he had on pencils and paper, taking hours to compose poetic odes on everything from loneliness to faith. Though no publisher was interested in his work, the radical editor of the Sheffield Register saw something in the young man's raw talent. For the next 2 years, Montgomery got paid to do what he most loved to do, write stories. He also learned firsthand about the hardships of being an Irishman under English rule. At the age of 23, when the newspaper's owner was run out of town for writing radical editorials concerning Irish freedom, the missionary's son took over the Register. In an attempt to quell the British government's wrath, Montgomery changed the paper's name to the Sheffield Iris. Yet he didn't change his editorial stance. Just as his parents had strongly rebelled against the strict rules and rituals of England's official church, James was bent on carrying on a written war for Ireland's freedom. At about that time, he also became an active leader in the abolitionist movement. His fiery editorial stance twice landed him in prison. Yet each time he was released, he returned to the Iris and continued his printed war for freedom on all fronts. When Montgomery was not raging an editorial crusade against English rule and slavery, he was reading his Bible in his attempt to understand the power that motivated his parents' lives and ultimately led to their deaths. In time, his scripture study and rebellious zeal would blend and send the young man on a new mission. One of the first hints of this change was revealed on Christmas Eve in 1816. Irishmen who hated all things British probably carefully studied the newspaper each day, hoping to find some Montgomery-penned passage that would inspire more to join their revolution. It is certain that the local government officials who read the Iris often wished to nail the man who was so often a thorn in their side. Yet on December 24, 1816, readers discovered a different stance from the fiery editor. On that day, his editorial did not divide Irish from English, but rather brought everyone who read the Iris closer together. Written in the same poetic verse that Montgomery had employed during the aimless wandering of his youth, Nativity, what would eventually become the carol, Angels from the Realms of Glory, told the story of angels proclaiming the birth of a Savior for all people, English and Irish, rich and poor, Anglican and Moravian. Eloquent, beautiful, and scripturally sound, Montgomery stood soon touched more lives for Christ with the stroke of his pen than his parents did in all their years of missionary work. Still, when read between the lines, there was a bit of social commentary in Nativity. A verse long deleted from the carol speaks of a society that needs to right some wrongs. That lost stanza also reveals the writer's personal journey in finding purpose and meaning in his own life. And here it is. Sinners wrung with true repentance, doomed for guilt to endless pains, justice now revokes the sentence, Mary calls you, break your chain. Mercy calls you, break your chain. As Montgomery would soon find out, his poem would break chains, but not those he had envisioned. The impact of Nativity would actually foreshadow the writer's future, since he would come to revolutionize music and thinking in the English church. As often is the case with inspired work, irony stepped in and took an important role in revealing Nativity to a mass audience. The Irish revolutionary poem might have been forgotten if not for an Englishman. It was a member of the English establishment, the same group against which Montgomery had long fought, that would become the agent in making his poem a worldwide favorite. Henry Smart, the son of a music publisher, had given up a successful law career to become one of England's finest organists and composers. Like Montgomery, he was a revolutionary. Only his cause was bringing new and beautiful music to English congregations, something that often involved bitter conflicts. Many traditionalists wanted nothing in church services but the simple chants that had been a part of worship for hundreds of years. They often argued that the members of the congregation were merely spectators and should not be involved in the important facets of worship. Smart, however, felt that God spoke to every man and woman and that worship should be a joyful corporate experience. In the face of ridicule, Smart published new songbooks with harmonized melodies. When people heard his harmonies, they demanded that his work be used by the church. Bowing to the will of the people and realizing that other Protestant denominations had already begun using this quote-unquote new musical style, the Church of England allowed the composer's ideas to take root. It is no exaggeration to say that Smart is to harmonize church music what Bach is to the German chorale. Yet the fact that Smart saw the need for new excitement in worship was ironic. By the age of 18, Smart was going blind. He probably couldn't have ever read the poem that James Montgomery had written on Christmas Eve, 1816. But somewhere, some 20 years after he had been written, the composer listened to the Irishman's words. Inspired by the wisdom, power, fire, and beauty he saw in Nativity, Smart composed a tune to go with the poem. When published, the Montgomery-Smart collaboration had a different title and a new vibrant life. Angels from the Realm of Glory would not only be welcomed as a new Christmas song, it would soon become one of the songs that opened the door for a new joyful and uplifting musical style in hundreds of English churches. But even before Smart had married his music to Montgomery's poem, Montgomery had lost interest in Irish Revolution. As he grew to fully understand his parents' calling, he returned to the Moravian Church and became an avid worker for missions. He also began to write hymns, ultimately composing more than 400. With the aid of Henry Smart, he led a quieter rebellion, bringing a festive personal style of music into church services that made the congregation an active part of worship. So that's the story behind the song called Angels from the Realms of Glory. Does not God work in mysterious ways, dear listeners? Now you can see why I want to celebrate Christmas every Wednesday, because there is a beauty and magic, a power to Christmas, and we need to embrace it in our lives. Today's food for thought, here it is. A thankful heart is the parent of all virtues. Cicero wrote that. You know who I want you to pray for today? I want you to pray for radiologists. These are the people who do the x-rays, and they really need to be able to interpret them well so that people can address issues as fast as possible. Please pray for radiologists. Okay, small attempt to make you smile or laugh, okay? This minister was always known for his sermons. They were 15 minutes to the moment, to the point. He made wonderful points in 15 minutes. Well, one day he preached for an hour and 15 minutes, and everybody was dumbfounded. So after the service was over, a man walked up to the minister and said, "You always preach powerfully for 15 minutes. Why did you preach for an hour and 15 minutes today?" The preacher said, "You're not going to believe what happened. I was running out of the house and I forgot my teeth. I realized I forgot my teeth. I ran back, and instead of grabbing my teeth, I grabbed my wife's teeth." I liked it. Want to contact me? Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Why would you contact me? Well, you let me know what you thought of that joke, or more importantly, you could tell me that you like my programs, that my programs are helpful. I just want to know if anybody out there is listening to the program, so please contact me, okay? On a more serious note, you can send me your prayer intentions, which I will faithfully take to prayer. And if you would, if you can help me keep my hospital for the poor and sick open, the hospital is way down south in Oaxaca, Mexico, one of the poorest parts of Mexico. And to keep a hospital open that serves the poor, it takes a lot of benefactors. Would you be a benefactor? Could you write a check, make it out to TASH, Tash Inc., and send it to Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. If you want to learn more about the hospital or more about my ministry, visit my website at fatherscott.com. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy.
Joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore.